I don't know why we can't just clear this lake off the flowers. Me and Brother Billy are sitting around up here. Don't can breathe to it.
Ain't gonna be long.
That's right. I don't see why not, do you? Amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Brother, we're missing that piece again. I lose it every time I touch this thing.
Here it is.
You find it?
Amen. Well, you see, that's why you should never miss church. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
I didn't expect Brother Patrick to get up here and sing. Amen. God's always got surprises for us. Amen. I like that song we sang, Glory Land Way. I like the second part of that second verse where he said, get in the glory land way.
You can hold the
microphone. Get in the glory land way. We're not always in the glory land way, are we?
Yeah.
We are, but we don't realize it. I mean, you may have just lost one of your toes. You can come here and get in the glory land way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come to the house of God and rejoice. I mean, it's good. Brother, it's good to see this good crowd today and all these lovely children. What a blessing in the Lord. All right, let's see. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 27. And we're going to just take up where we left off last time. And we're going to quit and go eat some more. And we'll probably just take up next time. Amen. The Lord tarries. I love this church. I hope you do too. If you didn't have it, after having it, you'd wish you had it back. You'd appreciate it more. And I know this is not the only good church. That's the best one to me. That's why I'm here. If I wasn't, I would be somewhere else. And I appreciate you people. I've grown to know you and to love you. It took a while for some of you, but we stayed with it. Amen. And you put up with me, which is more than a lot of people have been willing to do. Amen. But we're talking about three miraculous events that occurred at Calvary. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 50. The Bible says, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now that's the first miraculous event that happened here at the close of Calvary. We could not cover all of the miraculous things that happened because we would... Well, we could just continue on, couldn't we? But we'd run out of air, wouldn't we, preacher?
Yes.
Amen. Now, that's a miraculous event for this reason, that veil in the temple, that curtain at this time, was about 65 feet high. And the Jewish historians wrote that a team of oxen could not tear it apart for its thickness.
Yep.
And so, mortal man could not cut it. Mortal man could not tear it. And so the first miracle had to do with an untearable curtain. Now we talked last time about that curtain and the colors that were upon that curtain. There was white linen, which represents righteousness in the Bible. And then there was a scarlet panel that represents sin in the Bible. The brother quoted Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, though your sins be as what? Scarlet. We used to talk of a scarlet woman. I don't know what color they are today, preacher. That's a long time ago. Things have changed since then. But it represents that which is sinful. Then there was a purple panel, which always represents royalty. And then a blue panel, which always represents heaven. What a beautiful blue sky we have today. But we left off and we didn't cover one point. I intended to go on, but I've got to cover this before we can go to the second miraculous event. That curtain was beautiful, that veil that separated the holy place from the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies, was beautiful, and therefore it was attractive. Amen. Now, we've got some attractive women. As a matter of fact, y'all are attractive. I'm going to stay out of trouble this morning. Some attractive women here today. Amen. But just to make sure that we are as pretty as we can be, we try to put on attractive clothing. Amen?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm going to say this. I'll get in trouble, but it just comes into my mind, and that's how you usually get in trouble. Deuteronomy, it talks about a man, a woman not wearing that that pertaineth to a woman.
Yes.
Amen. And a man wearing a woman's garment. I'm in trouble, ain't I?
Yeah.
But you know what they wore back then? It's hard to tell them apart. They wear breeches and Levi's like we do today. What made the how could you tell the difference? You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
The decorations that were on the garments. Now when you go home, you look up that word pertaineth and see what it means. It has to do with decorations. Amen. So there were identifying factors that that identified the different sexes.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Now, you do the rest whatever you want to with that. That's your business. I just want to bring that out. Amen. We dress ourselves up in order that we might be attractive. Well, I'm going to get in trouble again. We used to have some ladies that didn't dress quite right, and some of the leaders of the church, it was their wives. And so I talked to them about it in the business meeting.
Yeah.
Now, why would they do that? Well, the only reason I could think was that they wanted to make somebody look at them. This church had already had a big problem with adultery. I said, we want any more of that. I said, you need to get them to cover themselves.
Yeah.
Amen. When they come to the house of God.
Yes.
Now, I wouldn't have done that except with the church leaders. I wouldn't do that to a visitor. I don't care, you know, what they wear. But we who have been saved and assumed a role of leadership in the church certainly should be aware of that which we do.
Amen.
And what we say.
Yes.
And what we wear. I don't expect a visitor or a sinner to consider that. And it's not important to me. Amen. But that curtain was beautiful. The colors on it were inviting and attractive to somebody, and they would be drawn to it. But there was one other thing on that curtain that I didn't cover last time. Embroidered upon that beautiful curtain were cherubim. Preacher, what's a cherubim? Well, I don't know. If you look up the word, you're not going to find a translatable word into English of what a cherubim was. We do have some descriptions of them, but what they were, I don't know. But I do know from the Scripture and their role in the Scriptures that they were always identified with being very close to the throne of God Himself.
Yeah, amen. So were.
Now the angels Gabriel and Michael, they're named in Scripture. They were sent off to do this or sent off to do that. But cherubim are always associated with the closeness and the nearness and the holiness of God. Now, what does that mean, holiness of God? Well, it means many things, but one thing that it means is that God is separate. And so the very curtain that attracted people to it also had upon it a message. And here's the message. You can't come in here.
Yeah.
Now if you'll go back to Genesis chapter number 3, after the sin of Adam and Eve, the Bible says the Lord God drove them out of that garden.
Yeah.
He didn't politely ask them to leave, but the Bible says He drove them out. Then the Bible says He placed something there at that gate at the East of Eden. It says that He placed cherubim, with a flaming sword. And then he said why he put him there. To guard the access or the way to the tree of life. So that man could not get to it. Now, I personally believe that when he did that, he also placed an altar there. And that's where man came to meet God, there at the East of Eden. And that's where Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices. I can't think of anywhere else they would have brought them. Especially a place that God was going to talk to them. Amen?
Right.
Amen. But the cherubim that were placed there said this to Adam and his family tree. You can come this far, but you can come no further.
Right.
Amen. Amen?
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 6, he said, in the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, he weren't riding a locomotive. He had a glorious trail like a comet that followed him as he moved when he entered that temple. Amen. And Isaiah described some creatures there that were very strange compared to the creatures of this earth. Amen. And there we see that these creatures are associated with the presence of God Almighty. Now, if you happen to go past that curtain, you would be in a little room, 5 by 5, and there you would see the Ark of the Covenant made of wood overlaid with gold, and then a solid gold lid called the mercy seat. And upon that mercy seat were two cherubim. And the Bible says one was perched on either end of that Ark of the Covenant, and their wings came together and met in the middle over that ark. And God said this. He said, I'm going to meet with you. And I'm going to meet with you right there on that mercy seat where that blood is spread, where those cherubim are. And there's only one way that you can come in this place. Only one man can come in this place, and that was the high priest. And he could not come without blood.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, the high priest had to make an offering for himself before he could go in, because he was a sinner too. And then he had to come back out and get the offering for the sins of the people, his nation, and go back in. Now, if any time any of those animals had a blemish, or he did not do it exactly as God wanted it done, that high priest would drop dead.
Yes, sure would.
Now, God's serious about all this worship business. Why?
Yeah.
Because everything that they did was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
Boy, the best thing a young preacher can learn is that he can open that Bible anywhere and then he can go straight to Jesus with it. Amen. And this book's about him, and whether it's Old or New Testament, it's about him, and it points toward him. And that curtain, as we talked the last time, pictures the person and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did we come to the conclusion of? The book of Hebrews says that we have access to him through the veil, which is his what? His flesh. Amen? So just as there was only one way into the presence of God in that tabernacle, there's only one way to the presence of God right now, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And son, we all have access since Calvary to go into his presence, amen? And we all come the right way, isn't that right? How many of you remember two men named Nadab and Abihu? You'll find them in Leviticus chapter number 10. Amen?
Yeah.
And the Bible, who were they? They were Aaron's sons.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that they offered, listen now, strange fire before the Lord. And when they did, when they presented their fire, produced their fire, God presented his own fire. But his killed them. You read the account, and God told Aaron, don't even cry about it now. There's something you got to learn here. Now, what was the strange fire, preacher? Well, it weren't the right fire. Something that's strange is not the right thing. Amen.
Right.
It's something that don't belong somewhere. Now, I personally believe that whenever that burnt, that altar of burning out there, the brazen altar of sacrifice, I believe when it was first ignited, I believe God ignited it.
Yep.
I don't believe they went and found a lighter knot and got their Bic and they lit it and fired that thing up. I had a man want to argue me about that one day after church. You know what my response was? Same thing it'd be to you. If you don't believe it, don't believe it. It don't matter to me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue about it.
Right.
I just know that everything about salvation is not of me, it's of God.
Amen.
It's the gift of God. And so everything that pictures it or pertains to it has to be produced by who? Has to be produced by God.
Yeah.
Because God told them about that fire. What did He say? He said, don't ever let it go out. Now, why couldn't they produce the same lighter knot in the same Zippo and start it back again? If it rained and got put out, God said, don't let it go out. Why? He the one started. I believe that. You don't have to believe that.
Yes.
But there has to be a reason why that Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. It was nothing about them except the fire. That they went into the holiest place to light at that altar of incense because God had told them that's how you light it. You get the fire off of the brazen altar where the sacrifice for sin was made, and then you light the incense, which is a picture of our prayer and communication fellowship with God.
Amen.
And it was outside that curtain we're talking about. But they couldn't go no further than that. That was as far as they could go, and they messed that up. So you better believe the high priest better be sure. He better not mess it up. Amen. And so here we are, attracted to Jesus. Boy, you ever look and read the Gospels, you'll find everywhere He went, there were crowds that followed Him. Boy, He's walking along one day, and that herd to follow Him, so He gets out in the boat and turns back toward them. Amen. Another time He was preaching and walking with His disciples, the crowd was following Him, He got up on the side of a mountain, amen, to preach to them. Everywhere He went, came one day to make Him king, He had to run up in the mountain, separate Himself, amen. Why? There was something attractive about Him.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, it weren't because He was pretty.
Amen.
Now, if you don't believe that, you read the latter part of Isaiah chapter 52 and then read Isaiah 53. And you'll see that there was nothing physical about Him that would ever attract somebody to Him. But there was something else about Him, amen, that attracted people to Him. Amen!
Yeah.
And John tells us what it is. We beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father.
Yes.
That's what attracted people to Him, even the little children that the preacher was talking about here, amen. But I want to tell you the purpose and the point of that veil was this. Separation. Separation. Man is born into this world and he's born outside the rule and the reign of God in his life because he's born in trespasses and sins. Amen. And that which is sinful cannot approach holy God. And so that curtain says, I want to tell you there's something wonderful in here, but you can't get to it. And those cherubim say, don't come in here, you'll die if you do. Ooh. Man, I tell you, that's such a blessing to me. To know that through Jesus Christ, His body, which that veil represents, has provided for me access into the very presence of Holy God by His blood.
Amen.
That's why God said, Moses, you be sure you build this exactly as I tell you to, after, here's the word He used, the pattern. Why? Because, son, that pattern is built upon a holy tabernacle that's in heaven right now.
Amen.
What do you think Jesus did when He died?
Yeah,
son, He put that blood upon that mercy seat that's in heaven.
Amen. Sure did.
And after that, there's no need to sacrifice a lamb, a goat, a bull, or nothing else. Because all those pictures have now become substance and reality. Ooh, glory to God. And now, the message is, only the high priest is not only the high priest can come, but it's whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Glory to God. See, I know what I am. You don't. You think I'm something, don't you? Now, I didn't get much response on that. Of course, I'm picking at you. Amen. But there's nothing about me that's attractive to God. Nothing that would make him accept me on my own. He accepts me because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And son, that wall's been torn down. That veil's been removed. Where that son, my high priest, has already been in there. And that thing, what happened, the miracle here, that thing was ripped apart. And if it couldn't be torn by man, it couldn't be put back together by man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. What a miracle of acceptance with God. Now let's go to part two. I'm going to hurry. Second miracle, verse number 52. It all started with Jesus doing what? Shouting. Crying out. He always had to be careful when he shouted. Amen. Lots of things happen anytime he shouted. It says, behold, the veil of the temple in verse 51 was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake.
Yeah.
And the rocks rent. Now you'll notice that word rent is used twice in that one verse. Not the same word we use when we're renting an apartment or renting a house. But it means to violently tear something apart. Amen. And what happened when that happened? It was so violent, look, that the graves were opened. It tore the graveyard up. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And came out of what? The graves that have been opened. Now you ought to understand, they didn't dig themselves out after the earthquake. Because things had been rearranged, suddenly the earthquake opened them graves up. All they did was get up and get out of them. Yeah. Amen. And came out of the graves. Look, now you've got to get this. Uh-huh. After his resurrection.
Amen.
And went into the holy city and appeared unto many.
Right.
First miracle was that of an untearable curtain. The second miracle is what I call that of an untouchable corpse. Amen.
Right.
Why, preacher? Well, I won't tell you why. Jesus shouted on that cross, that veil in that temple was rent, the rocks were rent in the earthquake, and the graves were opened. Now remember, that's a rocky place over there. They didn't bury under dirt 6 feet like what we do, amen. It was rocks. And if you were a wealthy man like Joseph of Arimathea, you would have you a tomb that was carved out like a cave in the side of a hill, and a stone would be put in front of it. But if you was a Murphy, they'd dig a little shallow hole and they'd just pile a bunch of rocks on you. And so when the earthquake occurred, those rocks separated.
Yeah.
And guess what lay there? Those old bodies.
Yeah.
Now, since they didn't get up out of those graves until 3 days later, after Jesus' resurrection, that tells me that they laid exposed for 3 days before they ever got up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I said it was a miracle of an untouchable corpse. Why? Because the saints could not go out there and cover them back up or touch those graves. Why? Because they would have been rendered unclean and could not have celebrated the feast of Passover or unleavened bread.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Why, if you look, whenever the chief rulers and the priests brought Jesus to Pilate's hall, Bible says Pilate took him in, but it says they didn't go in after him because they wouldn't be able to celebrate the feast. They'd be unclean for going in a Gentile place like that. It'd be like me going in the saloon. It'd be kind of hard for me to come here with a book of matches from the local tavern and preach to you, wouldn't it? Amen? So they didn't go in. Why? Because they wouldn't be able to celebrate the feast. Now, Passover began it. Next day was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was a holy Sabbath. I ain't got time to get into all of that and what that means in Leviticus 23. You'll find it. But That feast lasted for 7 days.
Yep.
So had they went out and touched those bodies, they would have been unclean and not been able to celebrate the feast. And so here we go. Jesus dies, earthquake, the graves open, and there lay the bodies for everybody to see. Man, what are we going to do about this? Well, we can't do nothing about it. We'll have to wait till the feast is over and go back there and cover them up. Huh? And so I have a picture in my mind. This is the way I picture. The grave opens up and there lays a man that I call Uncle Willie. And a little boy in the house happens to look out. And he sees Uncle Willie's grave open. Uncle Willie's laying in there. And he goes in the curtain and he grabs hold of Mama's dress and says, "Mama." She says, "What?" She says, "I see Uncle Willie." "Oh, go on, young'un. What are you talking about?" "Mama, come look. I see Uncle Willie." "You know your Uncle Willie's dead and buried. What are you talking about? Come here, Mama." And so Mama goes in there with that young'un. And they look out the door. Sure enough, that young'un's telling the truth. Uncle Willie's laying out there in that grave for everybody to see. Stiff as a board or rotted as a pine stump. What are we going to do, Mama? "Well, we can't do nothing about it right now, son. We'll deal with this issue later." So, they carry on. Earthquake's over. Whew, we dodged that bullet, preacher. Earthquake didn't kill us. We dodged that bullet. Amen. And so, when you dodge a bullet, you always reach a relaxing period, relaxation period, you know. That was close. But 3 days later, the little boy comes back in, pulls Mama's skirt. "Mama." "What, boy?" "Uncle Willie's not in that grave."
"Yeah."
"Uncle Willie done got up." "Oh, shut up, boy. What's wrong with you? Why are you bothering me?"
"Yeah."
He says, "Mama, you better come." "Why? Why, son?" He said, "Because Uncle Willie's at the front door." Now, will that get your attention? Sure enough, go to the door and open up, and there stands old Uncle Willie. Didn't it say there that they were seen?
Yeah, they weren't.
Huh? They weren't just seen by one, but how many, Miss Carol?
Many.
Seen them many, and here's old Uncle Willie standing at the door. And of course, Mama's just standing there with her jaw opened up. Amen. So what's she going to do? She's going to invite him in. Why? Because Uncle Willie has a story to tell. He has a story to tell. Now, I made that up, but that's a picture of what happened. You know it had to.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
There you go. I came from town one day, and I don't do this. I don't do this, but this just came in my head. Why, I don't know. I don't know why, a lot of things. But I wrote a poem. I don't write poems. As a matter of fact, I told the young'uns the only F ever made in English was in poetry because I just didn't go. I don't like poetry. But I wrote this. And the name of it is simply Uncle Willie.
Yeah.
I was in that red truck driving back to the house from the grocery store because I can't get Miss Ann to do nothing. But it says, "You may have thought it was only nature when the rocks began to part. So you tried to ignore and brush away the fear that was growing in your heart. But you'll soon forget everything you know and remember it no more when Uncle Willie walks up the steps and knocks on your front door. He has a message for you and yours about the soul and eternity, about what happened just three days ago and a man who died on a tree. So don't close your ears or shut up your heart, and certainly don't ignore when Uncle Willie walks up your steps and knocks at your front door. The first fruits are risen, and a promise is given to you and to me and to all that Jesus is alive and is able to save the great and the mighty and the small. As for Uncle Willie, he's gone his way, for now you'll see him no more. But remember his story and embrace the glory when Jesus knocks at your door." Now, Revelation chapter 3 closes and it says, The Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And He said, "If any man will open it up, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." Now I'm going to tell you something that might shock you. Jesus doesn't kick your front door in.
Amen. That's right.
He knocks. And if you look through the peephole and you see Him out there, there's only one way that you will open the door, and that is this. You believe that He came out of that grave, because they put Him in a grave 2,000 years ago. The only way He could be there was to be come out of that grave. Amen. Just like Uncle Willie. Amen. Now, why did they lay there for 3 days? Why couldn't, when the graves opened, them just get up? Because Jesus, the Bible says, was the firstborn from the dead.
Yeah.
Colossians chapter 1 says that He has the preeminence in all things. That means He's got to be first. We may as well get that down. Amen. So whenever He came out of the grave, now understand this, people had been raised from the dead. Jesus brought many back from the dead, four that I can think of right off the bat. Amen. But they died again. Why? Because He'd never come out of that grave, son. There's no resurrection power for eternity until Jesus comes out of that grave. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so after Jesus came out of that grave, the rest of that bunch got up, because the Bible says that He was the first fruits. The first fruits. Now to understand that, you've got to go back to Leviticus 23 once again. It's all about Jesus. What was the festival of first fruits? Now you need to understand, a lot of these festivals were time of joy and fellowship and eating.
Yeah.
A good time. And I can read you a verse, but it's scary. You can't handle it, so we'll wait later. But anyway, they would come. God said, whenever your land that I'm bringing you into produces, He said, I want you to bring here to me the first of everything that it makes.
Yeah.
And He told them when to do it, and He called it the first fruit, because it's the first fruit that was put on. And there, He would give it to the priest, and guess what He would do? He would wave it before the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, what did that mean? First of all, it recognized that the fruit was the result of God's blessings. Amen. If you have anything, if you are anything, I'm going to tell you, it's because God's blessed you.
Amen.
If you're able to get up here and sing, which I can't and I ain't, it's because God's blessed you. He's given you a voice.
Yeah.
He chose not to give me one, because I'd be off Nashville or London somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, he knows better than me, obviously, don't he? Amen. And so it recognized that God had provided that which was needed for them.
Amen.
And they recognized God's place by giving Him the first.
Right.
But not only that, it was a promissory of a further harvest. For 50 days later, after that, came the Feast of Pentecost. What was the Feast of Pentecost? It was a Feast of Harvest. Amen. And so when they presented that, what this offering said was this. It said, "This is the first, but it ain't the last. There's more coming."
Yeah.
Now I want to tell you, that applies in every part of your life. If you give something to God, He's never going to be indebted to you, son. He's going to give you back.
Yes, sir.
And that's the point. That's the point of this thing. One day Jesus sitting in the temple, and all them people came and gave a whole bunch of money and stuff, and one little old lady came up there. Amen. Gave a farthing. How many of you know what a farthing is? I lived in England for 3 years. They had farthings. It's a quarter of a penny over there. Wasn't worth nothing. You couldn't buy nothing with it. You had to have a pocket full of them. But nevertheless, Jesus said, "She's given more than every one of them." Now why? He said, because they've all got something left. She ain't got nothing left. She gave it all.
Amen.
So look, there's the point. It doesn't matter how much it is, it's how much you got left.
Amen.
Because you gave that other to God. And so it's a promissory. And so it's a matter of, listen now, faith.
Yeah.
God, I believe You're going to meet my every need. And in recognition of that, I bring this offering unto You. And I'm looking for the return of the blessing that You promised me. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Son, the Holy Ghost came down.
Yes, it will
be.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And so when Jesus came out of that grave, son, He was the first fruits. And all that meant was this, there's more to follow.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, the Corinthians had a lot of problems. We're just going to deal with that one right now. Problem with the resurrection. Probably some Sadducees or somebody coming in because they didn't believe in no resurrection. Resurrection was teaching that there's no resurrection. And so Paul writes a great lengthy chapter to rebuke them and help them understand there has to be a resurrection.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And he says this, he said, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. Now, I just misquoted that, and Brother Billy knows it, because he knows the whole Bible. I can't remember nothing. But I won't tell you what it says. If in this life only we have hope in Christ. I told you he knew it.
Yeah.
We're of all men most miserable. So here's what he's saying this. If God in this life, if Jesus is able to bless you with gold and silver and abundance of everything, and that's all you get out of him, then son, you don't have no hope.
Yeah,
that ain't the real message. Now, God will do that. God will take care of you in this life. He said it, and there's no doubt. But son, the glory of it all is that there's a resurrection. Yeah. He was the first fruits of it. Therefore, the promise of some more to follow. And therefore, the guarantee that if he came out of that grave, I'm going to come out of that grave.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you what I call it. A miracle.
Yeah.
A miracle. I'm going to close, but let me tell you about this. What did it say about those saints in that grave? He said they were doing what? Sleeping. Now, I like to sleep, but it's not good sleep. I mean, but, you know, not everybody wants to go to sleep like this. But if you can be described as sleeping, that's a good thing. Why? Because you're not dead. Well, one time, a man come running to Jesus and said, come to my house quick, ere my daughter die. He said, as he always said, let's go. Here they went. They might be 4 days later, but he's a coming. And they got about halfway. Here come people from the house, and they said, don't trouble the master. Says, she's dead. She's dead. Did he stop? No. He went on there, saw a bunch of people in that house. He said, get out of here. He did. Only took mom and daddy in there. Don't need all that clutter. And all you unbelievers.
Amen.
Amen. Right. And as he was ushering them out, he said, don't be troubled. He said, she's just asleep. And you know what the Bible says? And you can read this on two occasions. The Bible says they laughed him to scorn. I can see him har-haring in the front yard. What kind of dummy, what kind of doctor is this he's gone to get help for his daughter? He don't know the difference between somebody sleeping and somebody dead. Now, here's what's great about this. In the New Testament, the Bible always refers to the saved, those that we would say call dead in Christ, as not being dead. And we're talking about their bodies, that's all. They're not dead, but they are asleep. What is sleep? It is a momentary time of inactivity. See, whenever your body's dead, it ain't going to do nothing. If it does, you're going to clear the house. Huh? That's right. It's just there. But that body, God says, not dead. I mean, you open that lid up, it's going to be rotting. But it's not dead. It's just asleep. Now, who are you going to believe? The mortician? You're going to believe God? I'm going to believe God.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you're stupid. You're right. I am. But I'm going to believe God. That's just how stupid I am. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 15. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, what is a mystery in the Scriptures? It's a secret that has not been revealed to people before. Here's what he said. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Woo! What was he saying? He said, follows the next verse talking about that's going to happen in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. He's talking about the second coming of the Lord. You see, friend, there's some of us here that may not die. The Lord may come. Boy, I wish He would.
Amen.
But that's not my choice. But Paul's saying this, we're not all going to pass through the gates of death and the valley of the shadow of death. There are going to be some alive when Jesus comes, and they're going to be changed. Amen?
Right.
From this old mortal body to an immortal body, from a corrupt body to an incorruptible body, to be ushered into the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
But we're not the only ones going to be changed. Our kinfolk is out there in that cemetery, brother, and right back here. You wouldn't want to behold their bodies because you love them too much, and you wouldn't want to see what corruption does. There's only one man that didn't corrupt in that grave. Who was he? Jesus. Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. No, his body didn't corrupt. Why? No sin.
No sin.
Hallelujah. So guess what? Oh my goodness. My mom and daddy, my kinfolk, my mom and daddy are still alive. My wife lost her mom. I've lost a sister, a brother. Jesus said, they're saved. They're not dead. They're asleep. And if you're asleep, then there's going to come a time you're going to wake up.
Amen.
Yes! Amen. You're going to wake up. And so guess what? You don't want to get up with that old fouled up, corrupt body, do you? No, they've got to be changed too. And so Paul told the Thessalonians, I'd not have you to be ignorant of something.
That's what it is.
So that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He's talking about people sleeping. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even also will he bring them which sleep in Jesus with him. What are they doing? Sleeping in Jesus. Now listen, since Jesus has been to Calvary and he's come out of that grave, amen, when my sister died, that body, I can take you where it is in Macon, Georgia. But she went to be with the Lord. And that's where she is right now.
Yeah.
Well, preacher, what's she like? I don't know, and it's not important what she's like. But the Bible says she's there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And she's present with the Lord right now. But she has not been changed yet. You see, I'm living in this house. When I die, I leave this house. House stays here. I go to be with the Lord. Preacher, what's that look like? I don't know. But it is identifiable.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, preacher, how do you know that? I've had so many people say, well, will we know each other in heaven? What? Huh?
Sure will.
How do you know that, preacher? Because one day Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain. And he was glorified before them, and two people appeared with him.
Yes.
Now, I won't tell you, Peter, James, and John knew who they were, even though they died many, many years before. They knew who they were.
That's right.
Moses and Elijah. How you know he knew him, preacher? Because Peter immediately said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build some tabernacles and just remain here. This is good.
Yeah.
This is getting good. Amen.
Yeah.
They knew. And so, one day, my sister's coming back with all those in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that they're going to come out of them graves. He said, all those that are living and changed are not going to get a leap ahead of those in them graves. He said, the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
And we and which are alive and remain with the coming of the Lord. Amen. We're going to go and meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
So, friend, when Jesus comes back to get his bride and to punish this wicked world, those bodies come out of that grave, they're going to be changed and reunited with that individual that used to reside in that house.
Right. Yep.
So if I die, which could be any day, and any of us could die any day, when he comes back, this old body is going to come out of the grave but be changed, and then I'm just going to get back in it. And it's going to be new, and it's going to have powers that I never had before.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Boy, that tickles me. That tickles me. And the longer you live, the more you desire that new body. See, when I was young, that didn't mean a lot to me. Yesterday morning, in between the rain, I was working on that old red truck, you know, putting a serpentine belt on it in a pulley, and I'm the world's worst mechanic, and I opened the door to get in that thing, hit my shin on the dash. And that's so sore. Amen. But you know what? Inside, I feel good. I feel like running what they call that, a marathon.
Yeah.
But you see, I wouldn't get about 50 yards before I'd collapse. Why? The body can't keep up with the soul. I'm still a young man. And if you can see him, he's pretty. He is. But I know you can't see him. Amen. Amen. But one of these days, I'm going to get a new body that'll be equipped to handle this boy that's inside here. Amen. New in Christ Jesus. Glory to God.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's a miracle.
Miracle.
Preacher, well, why did this happen here the way that it did? I'm going to tell you why. To confirm everything that Jesus said. You see, I'm a slow learner. Amen. And if you can draw me a picture or show me something, I can latch on to it a whole lot easier. Amen. That'll get my attention. That's why I act crazy sometimes. It's not because I want to be crazy. I got to keep your attention because you'll go to sleep like Eutychus. I've got to keep you awake somehow.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why I'm not, well, maybe I am, but anyway. Jesus said this to his disciples one day. He said, yet a little while, the world sees me no more.
That's right.
Huh? Then he said this. He said, but ye see me.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, they sat there like I did in Algebra 2 class. Huh? Then he said this. Because I live, you shall live also.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God.
Jesus came to Lazarus' grave. His body was already corrupt. Martha runs out there and meets him. He says, don't worry. Said, he'll live again. She shows her biblical knowledge and says, yes, I know he'll live again at the last day at the resurrection. Jesus said, no, you need to understand something right now. I am the resurrection.
Amen.
And the life.
Amen.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
Amen. Now, he said that. They didn't understand all of it. And it's hard for anybody to get their handle on. But when he come out of that grave, that confirmed everything that he said. Boy, I understand it now. Mary, women at the tomb, them women, son, they got a lot more faith than us. That's why you normally have more women in church than you do men. They came, told them disciples, Peter, said, hey, the Lord has come out of that grave. What? Oh, you kidding me. And they took off running. Why? They had to see it.
Yeah.
And Peter and John came. John outran Peter. But Peter said, John said, I ain't going in first. I'm going to let Peter go in because he's stupid. And if somebody gets killed, it'll be him. So John peeks around the corner. See, he got there first. And Peter comes around him and goes in. And guess what? There was those grave clothes laying there. And there was that napkin over his face. It was folded and put apart. Now that settles it. Nobody stole the body. Couldn't do that with all that band of soldiers there. Amen. Somebody didn't snatch him away. He sat up. He put his feet on the floor. He took that garment and set it beside him, and he folded that napkin and set it the other way. He wasn't in a hurry. Why? He knew where he was going.
Amen.
Amen. And he came out of that grave. Now, he didn't need the angel to roll it back for him to get out. The stone was rolled back so they could get in.
That's right. Amen.
Because it wasn't much later, they were all gathered together eating, and Jesus just walked through the door, appeared in the middle of them. Now, I don't say that he walked through the door, but said the door was locked, and he appeared in the midst of them. Well, you explain that to me.
Yeah.
I know that anybody who could walk on water before the resurrection, after the resurrection, won't have no problem with the wall. Amen? Huh? Amen. Listen. How do I know that I am going to live after I die? That's the great question of man. He has two questions. I'm going to shut up. He wants to know where he come from. Therefore, he's either a monkey man, a mud man, or he's a child of God in creation. That's all it can be. Amen. And then he wants to know where he's going. My sister was big on this genealogy and family tree. I wasn't much into it, but I would talk with her and go with her to different places and everything, you know. I just said, I'm not as interested in where I come from because I'm afraid I'm what I'm going to find there as I am where I'm going.
Yeah.
Amen? And it's not real important that I know where I come from, but it is important that you know where you're going.
Amen.
And the guarantee, dear friend, that these dead in Christ out here that are asleep are going to come out of that grave is the fact that Jesus came Amen. Out of that grave.
Amen. That's it.
And so, the Jerusalem that he wept over, the Jerusalem that he preached to, who rejected him and nailed him to a cruel cross, they got to look at an open graves for 3 days, and God had it set up where they couldn't do nothing about it. They had to just watch.
Yep.
And he brought them out of those graves. They went into the holy city, which would have to be Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. And so there was a visual confirmation. And any Sadducee that saw any of his kinfolk up walking should have never been a Sadducee after that preacher. It was the absolute proof and confirmation. So just as that first fruit offering, that wave sheath, was waved before the Lord, was a guarantee of a harvest to come, so Jesus and these first fruits coming out of that grave was a guarantee that, son, if I die before the Lord returns, I am going to come out of that grave.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Now, what's so great about that? If that is true, and I believe it is, what have I got to worry about today?
Exactly.
One thing. To make sure that when he returns, I am going to come out of that grave. Because I have came through that veil that said you cannot come any further. I have been able to go through that veil because of Jesus. Because it pictures his flesh, Jesus said in Matthew and Mark at that table, he said, "This is my body which is given for you." Luke said, "This is my body." Amen. Which is given for many for the remission of sin. Paul said that God revealed him, the Lord revealed him this. "This is my body which is broken for you," after having broken that bread. Amen. Huh? Amen.
Yes.
So we have been made ready by the crucifixion of Christ Jesus on Calvary's tree. And that veil has been parted. And there, between those cherubim, dwells the Shekinah glory of God. And now, I, who am unworthy, and am not a high priest, and am not a Hebrew, can walk through that veil, his flesh, into the presence of Almighty God. And so Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, not for bowling, but that's good. Not for baseball, football, that's good. But are gathered in my name.
Amen.
He said, "There am I in the midst of them." Boy, I didn't know what happened when I got saved. Didn't know nothing about all this. But boy, I won't tell you what. It's wonderful to find out, ain't it? I won't tell you what you need to do this morning. Don't go through those doors until you're absolutely sure that you have passed through that veil, the body of the Lord Jesus, which was given for you. He died not for himself, but for our sins and for our transgressions. He bore them in his own body on a tree, so that he in turn might provide for us, listen now, forgiveness. Why is that necessary, preacher? Because we are all guilty.
That's it.
We're all guilty and condemned before Almighty God. But guess what? A way's been made for you. Now what you need to do is just get up and walk through it. Walk through it. Walk through it. Why do we invite people to walk down this aisle in church and give their life to Christ? Why do we don't grab them and say, "Come here. Come on." Because there's got to be an act of faith on your part. Amen.
Right.
Paul said this. He said, "For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Amen.
Yes.
It is. And so we invite you this morning, get up. If you don't know you're ready for that resurrection day, get up and give your heart to Jesus. Amen.